my throat.
Come on,
hold on, wait.
You are the NRG.
Let's go. Let's go again.
Are you okay, sir? Are you okay? No, leave it as it is.
No, man. Think properly. Dream it, believe it, become it. What's next?
Come on down.
Oh, Joe Gallagher.
Hold on, is that Joe Gallagher?
Yeah, Joe Gallagher.
No, he's Joe Gallagher. You see how this thing works?
Yeah, the powers.
Hold on, come on.
Wait a minute. Oh, sorry. Hey, is this the British Border Control Trainer of the Year on the phone? Who's phoning the knowledge Spencer Fearon?
Come on.
Is this Joe Gallagher? Oh, let me just check. Come on, then. Hello, Joe?
Yeah, are you all right, mate?
Sorry.
You thought it was a police in it, Joe? How you doing, Joe? What an honour, a pleasure. The big man himself, the British Boxing Border Control Trainer of the Year. Enough years.
Yeah.
Last year, this year, every year.
Yeah. Every magazine trainer of the year.
Mr. Joe Gallagher.
Joe, you've had a fantastic career, you know that.
Oh, cheers, thank you.
Seriously.
You're only as good as the subjects that you have and the students, and I've been very privileged to be blessed to be able to work with good, hard-working, dedicated individuals.
Joe, you know, I've known Joe for a very, very long time, from the Phil Martin days when I used to be an amateur. Joe Gallagher has been a man that has grafted, right? And I remember back in the days when Joe used to, I remember one time Joe was saying like, they don't give my dues and and all the rest of it. I remember this was years ago. He said, oh, they won't, and they don't use me for this and that. And, blah, blah. And I said to Joe, look, Joe, just keep on doing your thing, bro.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And he just kept
what you sow.
Exactly. And so he's been planting some proper seeds, because you go look at all the things that he's done. I remember like the success of the Smith brothers.
Yes.
Right? Every single one of them becoming British champion.
Look, I don't even need to look at Boxrec for this. July the 11th, 2008. Joe Gallagher, John Murray.
That was a
British title.
That was a serious.
You know
one.
Why I know the date? Because it was a day after my birthday. Live on Sky Sports, Lee Meager. I think that was a Lee Meager fight. And
that's a big boy fight.
I remember Jim Watt. Oh, he's taking too much. You can't keep on taking too much of these. Another one of these, they got to stop the fight. What? That was a breakout night for you, I believe, Joe. And tell me what it felt like. I think that was your first British champion, right? Oh, no. You won the British title before that. Oh, no. Hold on. You fought the... is it Dean? What's his name? You fought someone before... Lee Meager was a British title. That's right, because John won...
Yeah, Lee Meager was British title.
Yeah, John won the WBC... I remember he won the WBC youth title.
Youth title, yeah, he was one of the first.
Yes, yeah, so everybody was talking about. But I remember Lee Meager, you know, he was part of the old Mick Hennessy stable.
Yeah. Class of 2000.
Class of 2000. And it was good. It was like, who's this kid? I wanted to hear, because I was hearing about John Murray. More so, I was hearing about his trainer. Because you know how it is when we're coming up, Joe. People want to put the spotlight on us and criticize us. You know, we ain't got the experience or what have you. How are we supposed to get the experience?
Yeah.
That was always my thing. But what did it feel like that very night?
Brilliant. It's because John went in as the underdog. Lee had just had a close fight with John Thaxton.
Yes.
And I thought the match was made for John to lose.
Mm.
And when we went in there and John, I just knew both had fought out in Vegas on a show, didn't perform, and then they put them together and I just knew John, his own back garden, he'd be absolutely on it. And it was a fight that he showed his inside skills, uppercuts. And
uppercuts.
You could just tell by the reaction in the ring, me as usual being an idiot, and everyone sat on the front row quiet. That's all you have to do, isn't it, mate? So,
yes.
That's it.
I mean, it's
it was just a brilliant night.
One thing I noticed about, you know, the guys you train, I don't know, obviously, because it can't be coincidence, you know, You know, most of your fighters have the high guard, and it seems to me that you've never changed that methodology of training your fighters, having the high guard and countering and slipping and working to the body well. Is that something you really work on in training?
Oh, I think to an extent I do, but when you say when trainers train them all the same way, I disagree with me. I think the Ingles, yeah? Adam Booth, yeah?
Yes.
But with me, you can't say Joe Murray was like John Murray. He was a back foot fighter. Jose Burton isn't like Dean Smith. Callum Smith is nothing like Paul Butler or Natasha. But what you do is you look at what they're good at and what they're not good at. Excellent. So Anthony Crawler, when he came to me, I looked at who he's about, similar-wise, and I thought, right, you've not got blinding speed, you've not got dazzling power and things, but you're like a one-man-well Marquez type of fighter. So go and study him. Liam Smith, you're a bit like Donald Curry, like sit in the pocket, so you go and study him. Understand? So that was it, John Murray. You're like Chavez, do you know what I mean? Up close pressure. Yes. You go and watch him, start studying and watching and become the best that you can be like that. So Callum Smith, like say, long range stuff and then also short stuff up close. So it's a mixture of both. So I'm always aware. I think in this country, it's not appreciated enough inside fighting. It's very much like you're just a bit of hands up, blah, blah, blah. But if Liam Smith was based from Philadelphia, they'd be saying, what a great inside fighter. Do you understand? If John Murray was Mexican, he would have said he was a good inside
100%
fighter. 100%. And you look at them, and that's it. It's just because they've been brought through a lot of the English, and you see the Americans tall, upright.
Yes.
No disrespect to them, but I'm a Kraken, a Woodall, an Olympic upright, tall, backhand, that type of stuff. So when you've got kids coming forward, and you've seen it recently with Ted Cheeseman and Fitzgerald. Fitzgerald was just like, if that was an American fight, you'd be going Fitzgerald, cutting off the ring, taking his time, chopping him down, landing, jab.
How did you score that fight, my brother?
I had Fitzgerald winning.
Okay. So did Johnny Nelson. Johnny Nelson had Fitzgerald winning. I'm a little bit biased. I've known Ted Cheeseman since being a little kid. But
So that's what I say, Spencer. Yeah. But if we were watching American commentary wouldn't be giving Cheeseman highlights for tippy-tapping.
But what I am saying, Joe, I think it's more to do with the fact that we haven't really seen Ted Cheeseman box like on the back foot, box to like a, because usually he's like crash bang wallop. He was boxing very, very, he showed education. No disrespect, because Fitzgerald put it on him. But I think if you watch that fight with the sound off, then maybe you'd have said like easily, the right guy got the decision. You watch it with the commentary and you can be swayed. And I'm just going to be real. There's no matter what, as much as you want to be subjective, you're going to have a subjective bias as well. So, I mean, I'm a South Londoner. Ted Cheeseman is a South Londoner. I've known his family. I know his granddad. So
they ain't got nothing to do with it.
That's your business. That's your business.
Ain't got nothing to do with it, where you come from. We just want to know about the boxing.
Right, I'm just saying. So with me, I'm just being real because I know Ted Cheeseman. So it's like, I'm going to be a little bit more biased. But on the reels, 100% do I have to agree with you, because you get like you guys from up north and Johnny Nelson, who's a proper Yorkshireman, you know what I mean, eating Yorkshire pudding and all that kind of foolishness. You know what I mean?
Go on, stop.
Right?
Go
so on. Off of that, so I can see, I 100% see where you're coming from. But what I am saying is, do you also think it's a lack of appreciation for the style in which you have trained your fighters, even though you're getting the credit now, but you should have got this credit maybe a long time ago. Because I always knew when people and I'm just being honest, people would say, Joe Gallagher, he can't. I've noticed it. Everyone, when they talk about trainers, everyone, he can't train.
Joe, I mean, correct
and
me.
And Joe just persevered.
Joe, correct me if you think I'm wrong. When people say this, I have to wonder. Like, I'm like, you say I can't train, but I'm the one in the corner with this kid. I'm the one who's got this kid to this position. It's doing something, right? So I never really... I mean, how have you dealt with... You know, that's a... For me personally, I know how I deal with negativity, especially with people on social media.
Instant block.
I'm just not in no conversation with no one, because I come from and you come from... You know, we work hard to get where we are, and I'd be interested to hear, because you're at the top of the game. You're one of the trainers that I admire.
He's an elite trainer.
And I've always looked up to yourself, you know. And I know you can't get anywhere without living this. So it's obvious you're doing something right. But how have you dealt with negative criticism over the years?
It's been very hard. I think, especially now, social media as well. Like I say, 20 years ago. Professional trainers, managers, they didn't have social media where that's they were correct. Getting criticised and everything. I think, well, I mentioned it at the awards this year, I had 18 months ago, a real difficult time with my daughter getting bullied at school through social media trolls.
Wow.
And she had to take up doing self-harming, and I nearly packed it all in 10 months ago just to, I can't deal with this, what it's doing to my family. But by doing that, I would have won, and yes. I couldn't do that. So like you, Sunday, I used to interact on social media, but I didn't, but I'll use it to push the kids
of
on
course.
It, to understand for any articles, retweets or anything else, yes. but I won't engage in it.
Yes.
Because of that, and that's what annoys me so much, that these grown men who think they're funny
yes.
and saying things do not know when they throw that stone in the pond, the ripple effect it has, where it goes to a child's school, kids in the computer room, Google, oh, seen this about your dad, seen that about your dad, and that don't happen. The kid gets depressed, gets down, starts taking self-harming. Not spoke about it. I mentioned it at the awards, yes. and I think I spoke about it recently as well, because I felt to myself, I dedicated the award to her because together we came Beautiful. Through it all. I nearly packed it all, but it was just a very hard time to go through it. And I just think, wow, we don't get on criticizing you if you're a white van driver or you drive crap or you just the car sales or what right do you have? We're just doing our job. The fact that
Joe, just stop right there. One second. Just let me pause that. One second.
Come on.
People need to listen to this man.
They do.
These bullies need to stop it because you are affecting lives. Joe Gallagher, I want you to continue saying what you're saying. Sorry, I had to give you a round of applause there because I'm like you. I'm emotional, but with me, the way I deal with it, I just block you. I ain't got no talking. I ain't talking with none of them. you know me.
Like, this is how warped it is. When you block them,
yeah.
it's like a badge of honour. The trust.
Yeah,
and the
that's true. You know what? You're right.
Being blocked Joe Gallagher.
You know what? You're so right, you know, because certain people like, a man will Photoshop and say, yeah, you know what? Tony blocked me. Tony blocked me. Tony blocked me. So you're actually
right. It
doesn't
matter. I don't care. Let them use it as a badge of honor. I'm blocking you. And that's that. This is how I'm rolling. And I weren't really a blockage kind of person.
I made you a blocker.
Yeah, you made me a blocker. Now, I just.
That's what you got to do, Joe.
I am blocking you. That is how I'm rolling.
This is what you got to do, Joe, in my opinion. You focus on the positive. You just don't give the negative people. People say, people say, like, why are you even engaging with them? I'm like, no, I'm not engaging with them. I'm blocking them so they don't come back.
Exactly.
So, and I don't care how many times I have to block you, I'll block you because there are a lot of positive people out there. There are a lot of supportive people. People, you know, friends of everything, you know, and supporters of everything you do. So I've just trained myself to just focus on that. But I know I'm...
100%. You've got to, like I said, we've had a few of us. Sometimes you have a few bad results. The pressure comes on you and people in fighters' ears, you need to leave him. And you start questioning yourself and going, oh my God, I can't get a win at the moment.
Absolutely.
But then you just look back and you think to yourself, well, hang on a minute, you don't become a bad coach overnight. That doesn't
Come
happen.
On, Joe.
And it's like a process. You just go through it and you've just got to be, it's very, I'm a huge admirer of Ferguson and the fact of that siege mentality and the United were a hated club and everything else. But year in, year out, they won, and weren't out after.
I like that.
Everyone on the BBC and everything else. And that's what my attitude was. It's just like, well, do you know what? We'll just drown them with success in the end. They don't have to say, well, do you know what? You know, they must be doing something right. And like you said there, Thunder, people say to you, when I was an amateur coach, oh, turning pro, what does he know? When I became an amateur coach, what does he know? But we have APA champions, Olympians, kids at the world.
Yes.
Turn pro, he's an amateur coach.
Yes.
Oh, he's at a British level. You have to get someone at a world level.
Yes.
Well, how do you become European world level without going through the process?
100%.
You understand? So Sunday, I was at the, when John Murray got the Unboxer of the Year award, must be around that time. And you were there with Kevin Mitchell then. So but a lot of people mostly think, who's this kid? Where's he come from? Sunday,
and you know the mad thing, Joe, let me tell you something. When Kevin Mitchell was with me, he won Young Boxer of the Year. A lot of people don't know this. They think we just popped up out of it. They don't realise. And I take you back to what you said at the very top of the show that you've been lucky
That was 2007, isn't it?
Yes.
Remember, I was the... Remember, I did
the knowledge.
There.
Spencer knows when you've been...
Last time you went in the toilet.
Had a packet of crisps when you was in when you was a kid. But you know, taking you back to the top of the show, you know, you said, you know, you've been lucky to work with these gifted, but I know you, maybe you can say that to someone else, Joe, but I know what is in front of you is a reflection of yourself. So the reason why you've had these kids or got these kids is because of Joe Gallagher. Joe Gallagher is Callum Smith. Callum Smith is Joe Gallagher. And it goes right the way for all the kids that are around you. Like attracts like. And that's why Joe Gallagher is the British boxing
trainer of the year.
Trainer of the year.
Right? And you know what? And everybody is where they're supposed to be.
100%.
Right. There's no abracadabra in this. Everybody is. And the next thing what I realize is this. You got to look how many years now. How many years you been a trainer, Joe?
Professional 2001, amateur 93 to 8 years, 2001.
Okay then. Right? And I remember, right?
Professional 2001, you said, right?
Yeah, turned pro 2001. Steve Foster had just won his second ABA title, yes. Got to the world quarterfinals, and I thought, right, I want to go and test my test against right. The best in the world now as a professional.
Now, just remember this. 2000. What is the ritual that Joe Gallagher does for each fight or each big fight? Whose graveyard do you go to, sir?
Yeah, Phil Martin and Jimmy Egan's.
Right.
Respect. Hold on. What did Jay Prince say last week?
All right, then. You have to... Give respect
to get respect. Respect,
and this is exactly this. What it goes to these man's graveyard. You
come
know?
On,
it goes to their graveyard.
Man, don't understand about
they the don't get the
spirituality.
Powers. They don't get it
of that respect.
Right? And I'm bringing the belt.
Listen, the fight
so
is
when,
right.
So when they say so when they say Phil Martin had four British champions. No, he didn't. He had 17. He had four world. What I mean,
wow,
he had eight
wow.
That's what
and
Phil
that's
Martin
why
thought.
Everyone is because of what they are where they're
it's
meant
respect.
To be. It's the respect.
It's a, and Joe, listen, man.
I was
an admirer of you before because see me again. I don't talk disrespectful about people, but I ain't one of them brothers. You slap on the left cheek and I give you a right cheek. You slap me on the left cheek, I punch you. You understand? That's where I come from. So, but. You know, I've always, because, you know what, it's funny because, you know, when I was a new trainer and I used to, you know, you hear it, innit? You're in the gyms and you go, and a kid's doing well and he goes, oh yeah, but he's trainer, he needs to leave his trainer. And I think, that don't really make sense
oh
to
me. Oh my God, I had that so much
Joe, come
had
on.
That so
bro,
much
it don't make sense.
What does he know?
It doesn't even
he
make
needs
sense.
To go and get him. He needs to go and that. I'm like, oh my God, it's just like... Well, nah, it's just fuel and motivation. That's
motivation. That's it. Oh, you know
and,
what?
But Joe Atunde, when I was saying that before about Finger, the biggest thing is, I said it at the awards, the Belgian awards, the British Boxing Board of Control, and also license holders, when yes. Something tragic happens, we all come together, and it's
yes.
Fantastic.
Yes.
When something good happens, like the awards, it's fantastic. But it's us that are absolutely, on a Saturday night, slagging each other off, blaming referees. I don't see a referee on a Saturday night with a judge saying Gallagher's got the tactics wrong
yes.
Or Callum Smith needs to keep his hands up. So why are we fighting then? We're in a human error sport and it's
goodness.
Very hard and it affects people's lives.
It does.
Like I say, with social media and that now. And what we all need to do is if you've got a problem with someone, pick the phone up. But don't take to social media
come
because
on,
you're
Joe.
Giving it that it's okay. To do that, so the trolls go, well, if he can do it, and he can do it, and,
yes.
And this trainer's slagging that trainer off, and that fighter's slagging that trainer off, or that man's... It's like, we've got to come together more.
Absolutely.
I think the board has to be more... On it. Do you think the FA would allow Marcus Rashford to have a ding-dong with Harry Kane on the 12th? No, they
no,
wouldn't.
Sir.
They'd have to haul them in, and
no,
the board
sir.
Should do the same.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Well, oh, man, Joe, I literally could talk to you all day, all night. You are inspiration to me, inspiration to men. And I think that anyone who's not inspired about you, of your story, we're waiting for the book. That's what I said. You got a book yet, Joe? I don't know. You
yeah,
might
you
have
got,
one. You might have a secret
mate,
one. I don't know.
Listen, I could do a topic there. I could do a coffee table book. But if I did another book, mate, I'd be sued left, right, and centre.
Yeah.
My bottom line, no. Before we close, one of your gallant warriors.
Oh, we got to touch
Anthony Crawler.
$1 million. Oh, let me tell you a story about $1 million Corolla. This is when I knew, because see me, I'm an energies person. I'm a person that I see far into the future.
That's voodoo for you. That's proper Nigerian black magic.
No, it ain't. It's just, there's people in the world that are like that. They got a good eye. Let's say that. But I remember we was at the back, it was your call. You had a fighter and I can't remember for the life of me what fighter it was. But we was in the back. Anthony Corolla was a young kid, small. He's still a young kid, but he's in the back. And I was training Kevin Mitchell at the moment, and he come over and he said, that Kevin Mitchell is a brilliant fighter. He's got a good one. And I swear to you, Joe, I remember that to this day. Because this kid, he's got it. And I'm so happy that he's retired on a great note. He's been a fantastic ambassador and a servant. And he's a beautiful human being. And I credit you with a lot of that. Because he's with you day in, day out.
Right. Did you imagine...
I think it's like the trouble with a lot of stuff these days. It's from... how they brought up at home, so it's a credit to his family, and everything starts at home, and how they brought up, and his parents brought him up to be such a respectable, well-liked, humble kid, and it's just been a privilege for me that he's allowed me to be his coach for the last 10 years. We've had a fantastic journey together.
Do you think, from the time when he lost to Derry Matthews, right? From the Derry Matthews... From the time when he fought, and he lost, when Crawler lost...
To who? Derry Matthews? Yes.
Derry Matthews.
Yeah.
And then they got the draw. Did you see him from then becoming a world champion?
Well, Joe, it was before then. He fought, he was getting ready to beat Andy Morris. He was getting ready to fight John Watson for the British title, late notice at lightweight. And
that was a great performance, though.
Yeah, and Mark Heffron could bang. And I said to Crawler, because we just won the super featherweight, we're moving up, and John Watson was a decent lightweight. So Spy Mark Heffron, he was letting some bombs go through. Anyway, Crawler hung in there. Anyway, start chipping away. Anyway, he'd done Heffron within 6-7 rounds. And I just thought the mental strength, toughness, he's just come through then. I thought, you've got something new, son. You've absolutely got something. And he lived his life. And this is the big thing that I try to keep. He lived his life. I told him, listen, you can't be like this era now, because he's just come through watching Ricky Hatton, Gomez, everyone ballooning up in weight, Broder. So you've got to go back to the generation before that, the Moss side, the Colliers, the Pat Barretts, the Carl Thompsons, the Enter Binghams, when they're only 7-10 pounds overweight, and when the phone goes, you go, that's the generation you've got to be now. And so you've got to live your life like that. And that's why he's had the longevity, and that's why he still looks as good as he does, because he looked after himself outside of the gym.
Yes, yes.
And that's key. It's not in the gym, it's outside of the gym that determines your career.
You have got more round of applause
than anyone
that's been on this show yet, Joe. And again, listen, man, these are jewels for young professionals, you know, and it really explains the reason why you've had so much success, because your mindset, and you've obviously instilled that mindset into the young men you train. And again, all credit to you, Joe Gallagher. Inspiration.
Yeah. What is young Anthony Crawler going to do now? Because I've seen him opening up shops now and taking pictures everywhere.
Yeah, he's in the gym now. He's in the gym now, training his amateurs. He's in the gym training his amateurs. He looks after some amateurs. He's also got a kid that he's trained as a pro, so he's doing that. He's on about going into doing some fashion clothing, because you know what Crawler's like. He thinks he's the best dressed man in Britain, don't he? But he's had some shocking outfits the last 12, 18 years.
Yeah.
Even he had the Mayweather shorts. Yeah, he had Mayweather shorts before Mayweather had the shorts.
Yeah, I love that.
So no, he's a great kid. He won't be stuck for any work. Him and as a pundit, and I think I may have upset someone the other day when I said it. You've got to understand, this generation here now, YouTubers, whatever, that watch boxing now, this new generation, they know Anthony Crawler, they've seen his fights, he's relevant. They know Tony Bellew, he's relevant.
Yes.
So that's what I mean. So the punditry work, no disrespect to Glenn McCrory or Johnny Nelson, but no one remembers them fighting. So that's why I feel, like you see with Sky Football, they keep changing the panel all the time now. Like, you've got Mourinho's on it, Roy Keane's on it, to keep relevant all the time. Do you understand?
And I think that's a good point.
Anthony should be able to get into one of their positions.
Anyway. I'm telling you now, I've worked with Anthony on a couple shows for European TV.
Yes,
right, and he's proper, and he's proper. He knows boxing. Like, we sit down, and you have a good chat with him as well. He's got a very, very good analytical eye. And can break down things really well. And he's got a massive future, trust me. Because, you know what I mean, he can dress, he's got swagger, he's a good-looking kid, and he's still got all his marbles.
Yes.
So, I mean, I wish him all the best. You've done a fantastic, fantastic job with him, Joe Gallagher. A plum pleasing pleasure for you, having you on The Fight Is Right.
The Fight Is Right.
Come on down, Mr. Joe Gallagher.
Mr. Joe Gallagher. Thank you very much, Joe.
Thank you, boys. Keep up the good work.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Look at that, man.
Serious. Serious.
Big up Joe Gallagher.
Big up the big man Joe.
Yeah, man, you got a lot of time for Joe Gallagher.
Man, what an inspiration.
Yeah, proper guy. And because he's, you know what I mean, look at that. He's talking about the correlation with Alex Ferguson.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
That was a very good point.
Yeah, it was. I ain't got Alex. I know I got most man's phone number in my book, but I ain't got his number.
We need Alex.
No, we do. We want to get him. Don't worry about that. We're going to get him. I know Ambrose Mendy, that old Ginnell's got his number.
Ambrose, that wasn't me. Let me say, you know.
Ambrose Mendy's an old Ginnell, but still, I love him.
Yeah, come on, big up Ambrose, one of the legends.
Yeah, big up Ambrose Mendy, Foundation.
Foundation.
Give him a round of applause, even though he's not even here.
Big up Ambrose Mendy.
But yeah, man, I'll tell you what, I can win, though. I'll tell you what, Andy Cole, bruv.
The football Andy Cole?
What do you mean, whatever football? The original number nine Andy Cole. What? Andy Cole.
Newcastle.
Yeah, Newcastle.
Man U.
Yes.
Oh, Andy my goodness. Cole.
Treble. Hey, listen,
you know Andy used to roll with my boys? Richmond.
The more criminal.
Richmond, Edwin. No, because they always spy Arsenal together.
Yeah.
But, you know, Andy was the only one who bust through.
Yeah, he bust proper, though.
Yeah, yeah. What? What?
I'm going to phone him. Boom.
Do the thing.
Mr. Original Number 9.
He's
the original number 9. You are not the original number 9,
Tony. No. I was before. Hold on. How are you, Andy, if you don't mind me asking?
With me, just turned 48.
All right, you're the original.
Lies in the camp.
Hold on, wait, give
it. Lies in the camp. Lies in the camp.
Yes, and Nicole is the original Lions in the camp. How you doing, brother?
Yeah, I'm good, man. Real good.
It's an honor and a pleasure to speak to the one and only. There's only one Andy Cole, Man United. That's what I remember. I don't remember nothing else. I don't even remember Newcastle. But let me just tell you a story. Our producer, the man behind the cam, he's just told us that the reason he supported Newcastle was because of Andy Cole.
Yes.
You hear the yes in the background, Andy?
Legend.
Man, tell you a legend. Yeah,
Gary said he cried in 1995 when you left to go to Man U.
Yeah,
He said he cried. He literally cried.
Yeah, that's the impact you're having on certain men. I want you to know this, because it's like they don't want to big up the man them.
Yeah, they don't, because remember, Andy Cole won the treble.
The treble,
you know.
And listen, I'm telling you, the way you used to move on the field, it was like I was in a dance. The celebrate, bro. Now you was a serious player. I'm not even lying. But yeah, tell us a little bit about your love for the sport of boxing, and you know, if there's any fights you've ever been, or who you know who.
And he's a boxing man.
I know, 100%. You know,
I've always loved my boxing. To be fair.
Yes.
My brother-in-law used to box still. He didn't make it a pro level or anything like that. So I've always been interested since then.
Yes.
I mean, so boxing for me is like, when I'm younger, I'm watching Mike Tyson all the man.
Mm.
You know,
Andy, did you have the Mike Tyson haircut? Did you have the little the parting in the head? Tell the truth.
Yeah.
Bro, yeah. Everybody had parting. You used to go out to the barber shop and say, yeah, give me the Mike Tyson.
Yeah, you know that street, boy. So, so to be fair, watching him, one of my friends used to have a bar then in the garden called The Spot.
Yes.
Yeah, so anytime the big fights were on, you know, I used to like come down from Manchester and go and watch the fight another night and that. So I've always loved it. Before that, when I was at Arsenal, when I was a kid.
Yes.
Obviously,
yes.
Michael Watson.
Yes.
I mean, he used to come into the Arsenal. And, you know, so I've always enjoyed boxing from when I was young still.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I remember like Michael Watson, when he boxed at Tottenham versus Chris Eubank.
Oh yeah, he came with it.
Yeah, for the WBO super middleweight title with a vacant crown then as well, right?
Yes.
And he came in Arsenal. He had Arsenal shorts on, and Eubank had Tottenham shorts on.
Yes.
That was a big fight. Was that September 1991? Yeah, I mean, it was sad of the fight of what happened to the end of what happened to Michael Watson, but if that didn't happen, we'd still be talking about that fight now for how good a fight that fight was. An excellent fight, you know. Remember, like, round 11, he dropped Eubank. He was just bullying Eubank. Remember, after the fight, Eubank said, yes, I want him tested. the man is just too strong. He's just too... Remember, listen.
That's Spencer giving us his impression. You know Spencer's original, what do you call him? Impressionist. He can do everyone. Learn that again, the whole lot. But, you know, moving on to your career, you know, I remember when you was at Man U and then you were sold for... Listen, if you was cutting these peas in 1995...
It's 17 bag a week them times, you know?
What you say that again?
It's 17 bag a week.
Bro.
That's big money, you
listen,
know?
Reportedly, Andy, you don't have to deny or confirm because the tax man listens to this show. It was £7 million.
Yeah.
Pounds.
Yeah, I know. Who's your agent? Paul Stretford, isn't it?
Yeah, Paul Stretford was my agent at the time, yeah.
I know you got robbed.
oh my goodness. So you see, this is a show full of jokes, full of love. But, you know, again, moving forward, you know, I know you know, you're long time married to your wife, Shirley. I know you've got a son.
He was married.
Sorry. Hands up, Tundi. sorry for the misinformation, but you was married. But I know you have a son. More important, we're talking about the son.
He plays ball.
Yeah. Tell us a little about that. And how it feels as a father, you know, to watch your, you know, son in your following your footsteps.
You know, it's different. I ain't gonna lie, it's different. It's, you know, all I want for my son is the best for him naturally.
Yes, sir.
To watch him. I mean, I can't. I'm playing with him.
Yes.
You understand me?
Are you one of them, the mothers? You can't even say dad. The one of the mothers on the touchline screaming in touch, because my boy also is at Crystal Palace. Joshua Jai, second year scholar.
My little nephew.
And I don't get involved. I try to be calm and composed. I just stay on the corner flag and I just watch him and support him. And I feel, you know, as you say, I'm there playing with him. But I mean, I was never a professional footballer, so you know, it's interesting to me to hear how you feel when he's playing, and what sort of encouragement do you give him?
Well, the only encouragement I give him is to it, you know, because I know how difficult it is. You know, I think nowadays, because there's so many kids who want to do, you know, there's so many kids coming from abroad as well, so it makes it a lot tougher.
Exactly.
You know, exactly. So I just tend to enjoy it as much as possible because I know how tough football is.
Mm.
You know, I think a lot of people see the glitz and glamour of the Premier League, but lower down,
yes,
it's a lot tougher than that. It's a lot tougher. Okay. But it's not everyone making big money.
That's right. Mm. That's right. And it's the same in boxing. You know, I think, you know, people see these young kids turning professional and, you know, friends on the outside, they think you're rich.
It's true.
You know, true. But they don't realize, you know, the reward at the top level is great, but at the lower level, it's hard work.
Yeah. That's right.
And finally, I want to know a bit about how it feels, because I understand that you're now coaching. Is that correct?
That's right, yeah.
With I'll give you a joke. I went for trials at Tottenham, yeah?
Yeah.
And the one thing I can remember about the trial is a black youth with a jerry curl. And you know who that was? You know who that was, Andy?
Who was it?
Come on, man. That was Soul. Soul Campbell. It was Soul.
Well, I'm going to have a look about that now, you know?
Yeah, bro. He used to have a wet look, bro.
He used to have a wet look. That's what I remember. Unless it was Soul. But that's what I remember. It was Soul.
Soul Campbell's bald now, isn't
it? Quiet, bro.
Yeah, he's bald now, isn't it? He's bald now. So I warned him about that peroxide.
Sol Campbell, and I remember everyone was making noise about Sol Campbell. You understand? Because obviously I was a footballer. I'd never wanted to be a footballer. Everyone thought I was going to be a footballer. And again, that's one of the reasons why I feel, you know, an individual's got to want it. You know, and you know yourself, you used to move with my boys.
We're
showing them what's going on. Because... Listen, 100. This is, I'm telling you, man, I, when I look back and I see the guys that made it, you know, guys like yourself, because you used to hang around, you used to move with like Richmond and Edwin. And I remember there was always talking, obviously I was like a year or two older than them, but there was always talking about Andy, always talking about Andy Cole and how focused and dedicated he was. So it's like I tell all these kids, if you want it, that's it. You got to go and get it.
All I'm saying is 1996, Country's mum used to have a shop called Auntie J's on Cole Harbour Lane in Brixton, opposite Twins Barbershop, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Andy Cole used to go to Twins to get his haircut.
Mm.
He used to have a white BM with his cream leather inside, a black roof convertible. And Andy Cole used to come there. It was like a big thing. Like Andy Cole was going down and enough man was looking to rob Andy Cole.
I was always in there.
Nah, Andy was getting enough love from the hood, you know, because he would come down the hood and show the youth love.
Yeah, but again, you know, this is what it's about, I feel, you know. I mean, what was your motivation, really? You know, when you first set out on your journey, what was the motivation?
My motivation was that I always want to do my parents proud, you know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
You know, because ultimately, I know how tough it was for them when they first come to England.
Mm.
You know, so my motivation was if I can do them proud, I'm more than happy.
Yes,
I'll be honest, I never thought I'd ever achieve what I've achieved.
That's very interesting.
You know, you don't know what you're going to achieve. So when I look back now, and obviously the love that I get of everybody, you know, it's surreal.
Yes,
I ain't gonna lie to you. It's a real thing, you know, that people have watched my career for so many years, and now I'm in front of them, having a conversation with them. They're showing nothing but love. For me personally, as a black man, it's a great honor.
Yeah, yes, what would you say was your proudest moment?
Hold on. Wait there.
Yeah, you know, we have to bow humbly to that one.
Gotta give you a round of applause for that one, Andy.
Yeah, what would you say your proudest moment when you've been on the field?
On the field, it's got to be 99 completely treble.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you go out watching football, want to play football, you know, you're always dreaming about playing in the European Cup final, winning the FA Cup, and obviously winning the league as well. But to do it all in one season, like that's what dreams are made out of. You know, when we was all growing up, obviously, you mentioned Ed and all them boys in Richmond and that. You know, that's what we want to do. We want to play football because we want to win things, but we want to enjoy it as well. You know, but not everyone gets to the level that I got to.
That's right. Mm. Well,
you know, so you've got to believe you can do it.
100%. And I think that's a great way to end our conversation.
100%.
You've got to believe you can do it. And that's why I told them every day, every morning.
Every second.
Dream it. Believe it. Become it. You see, Andy Cole, the great, the one and only, the man that broke Gary Blake's heart when he left Newcastle. It's been an honour and a pleasure to have you on The Fight Is Right.
Bless you.
Yeah, thank you very much, man. God bless you, brother.
Nice one, man. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Andy Cole, man. Seriously.
Well, this is what I'm trying to say. The Fight Is Right.
It is right.
There ain't no other fight.
But this fight. Right here, right now.
Right here, right now. And Nicole.
We need some fufu.
This guy. Oh, come on.
Yeah, man.
Anyway, come on. Stop it.
Nah, man. I love Andy Cole. You know what I mean? We didn't even get to talk back.
Such
a
humble man.
You know what I mean?
I like what he said about his son. You know, because obviously my son plays football, and you know, that's what it's about, in my opinion. It's just about support, you know, because he knows how hard it is.
Of course he does.
And he said it. We just want the best for our children,
right?
And but it's different. You understand? Because it's not you, but it's you.
Of course, it's you.
You understand? So, incredible interview, and
man. Up. And Andy Cole scholar, and remember he had kidney problems.
Yes,
and he come through on the other side. He come from the other side, and he's so appreciative of life. You can see that. You know what I mean? Look at that.
And he's now the attacking coach.
Yeah.
With Mr. Jericho. So Campbell.
You're taking liberties.
So Soul Glow. Remember Soul Glow?
Yeah, I love it.
Just come to America.
No. Remember House Party?
Bro, House Party. Kid and Play.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And our condolences to the family of John Witherspoon, who died recently.
Listen.
You know what I mean?
Anthony walked in the gym. And I know my aunt. You understand? He was so sad. I said, "Aunt, what's the matter?" He said, "Unks, John Witherspoon is dead, bro." I said,
Uzi.
That's what I said, Uzi. But then when I realised, I said, oh, Andy was so upset, man.
You got on to coordinate.
Yeah,
coordinate.
This guy was a legend, man.
Legend, man.
Legend. Condolences to
his family, man.
His family, and yes.
Yeah, yeah. But I remember at House Party, when the dad come in, Robbie Harris is playing the dad. And he goes to the guy with the Jerry Juice, "You better not ever do a cram. All we got to do with the Jerry Juice, follow the drip. Follow the drip.
Yeah, remember that, man. Wait, they don't make films like this.
They don't make films like that no more. They need to start making movies like that.
They need some proper directors or something.
But you know what? We got to talk to the big man because I know like you ain't done an interview in a hot minute. Your Jamaican friend, the curry got a rice.
Dillian Rustaman White.
Come on, get on the phone.
I'm gonna phone Dillian right now. Hold on. Yoza, look at yard, man.
Nothing is funny. He's been calling for my brother, funny, he's not here.
Dillian White, the one, the only, the legend, Mister.
No, it is not him. It is the grandmother. You don't deal with me.
Dillian, what you got over with? Listen, yes, sir. How you doing, brother?
What are you live already?
What do you mean? This is the real thing.
Oh, man.
What are you talking about, man? Come on, Mr. Body Snatcher.
What are you doing right now? What are you doing at this precise moment?
I got a bag of nuts in my hand.
This guy. Anyway, Dillian, moving forward, you know this show is 100% positivity. We are only here to discuss the positive things you have done for yourself, for your family, for your community. And that's all I mean.
Can we discuss your hairline or positive?
Bruv, watch. I told you. Me and you's going to swing. Well, bruv, what kind of food was you cooking in that thing? That MasterChef business?
In MasterChef?
MasterChef.
No, 1 second. Let me tell you this now. Round of applause for Dillian on MasterChef. He done us proud.
Thanks.
He done us proud, bro. You know what I mean? He went on the show.
Yes.
You know Dillian can't cook for toffee. And he went in there and he was cooking up some concoctions, brother.
Okay.
He was making concoctions like it was Halloween.
I can cook. I just don't. Listen, you when you cook for yourself.
Yes.
And you're in training camp. You ain't got time to be there cutting fish. In squares and feet. No, you just remember when you're training 5-6 hours a day.
Yes,
you're just trying to eat something quick. The quicker it does, the quicker you can eat, the more time you have to rest. So
yes.
It's the difference between a competition. I had months to, every day I was going to practicing, I was cooking, I was just focusing on the competition. But when I'm cooking for it to look good. I'm just cooking for it to fill up my belly.
Yes. All right, listen. Let's move on to boxing because I want to talk about the first question before I even go into fights and everything. What was your motivation in becoming a boxer? Because you're inspiring a lot of young... You know, we're from the same ends. And
My motivation just for my mum not to experience another one of my sons dying on the streets, man. You know?
Yes.
Everything I did, all my father was, what I did, all I was worried about was my mum, I never wanted to cost my mother any more necessary stress and pain.
Yes, yes.
You know, and my mum's a motivation for everything in life, man. Boxing, being alive, waking up and doing, grafting, through all the stress and trials of life, my mum's
a
motivation for everything I
did. Love that. Oh, just for that again.
100%.
The mother is the motivation. And it's so funny because we just had Andy Cole on the line and he said the same thing. He said, his parents come from Jamaica. They had it hard. And he wanted to, he just wanted to give them everything. So, you know, beautiful.
When my mom explained certain things to me that she'd been through and things she'd done, not to live, just to feed her children,
yes,
made me cry. And I was a youth, I made me cry as a youth, but it also inspired me to make sure that she never has to suffer again, you know what I mean? And that's what motivated me, you know what I mean?
Lies in the cup! You hear that?
100%.
Wait, so what?
This is what I just give you.
Lies in the cup!
Again, guys, listen, this is serious.
No, you know what, you know, I just, you know what I mean? I just wanted her to be proud and just to, you know, not to suffer because a lot of people, you know, listen, now my mom got, is it first generation Jamaican or second generation? I don't know which generation it is that yes. came here.
Yes.
And had to work, you know what I mean? Had to work. My mom was working three jobs as a kid growing up. She was cooking at the school, she was cleaning, and she was a nurse at the same time. Mm. So, you know, I just wanted her to.
Well, that's
I just wanted to do something that could make her life a bit easier and make her stress less. You know what I mean? I could just go to my mom and say, what bills are you going to pay this month? And my mom would go, I'm going to pay this. I said, okay, don't worry. Here's the money. Pay that. And here's some money. Go buy yourself some shoes or a dress or whatever you want.
Love that. Love that.
Man, beautiful, man.
All right. So moving forward into your professional career, I know, you know, in your 19th fight, you've now picked up the British title. You beat Ian Lewison. What was that feeling like? You know, are you from the roads, South London, Brixton?
He's from Jamaica.
No, yeah, but...
from Jamaica.
You know what I'm talking about. Okay. But listen,
wait,
to win a
Lonsdale... Did you get your passport?
No, listen. This is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying, Dylan. You can't even be serious when Spence is here. And what I'm trying to say is that, holding the British title... Hold on. Holding the British title is a prestigious...
It's incredible.
Belt for someone. I mean, when did you start boxing? What year did you actually take up the sport of boxing?
I took up boxing late. I can't remember. I took up boxing late. You guys probably know better than me.
2009.
I took up boxing.
Is when he came.
Yeah, I took
down
up boxing late. I took up club. Boxing late. But for me, winning the British title was an amazing thing because my first attempt at the British title, I lost.
Yes.
I lost. You know what I mean? And I was in a bad start, please. I was thinking, you know what? Oh, man. You know, because at that time I felt invincible. I felt like I was a champion for my life, and then I lost. Mm. And then I was in a position. So, man, you know. And then after winning the British title for me, that was a significant moment in my career because I was like, okay, I can do it. I can go 12 rounds.
Yes.
Or 10 rounds, however long it was. I'm thinking to myself, all right, you know what? I'm ready now. Now I'm going to go after other belts and start picking other belts up.
Excellent. So you know, at that point, you know, you're now the British champion, you know, and, you know, money starts to come your way. So what is...
No, I thought I was going to get money.
Tell them, Dylan, because I think...
I'm winning the British title. I was like, yeah, I'm a big man now. I'm going to get the money, but it wasn't like that, bro. I've had a hard, difficult career and...
Yes, and you I think people need to, you know, and one of the reasons why, you know, I want, you know, I'm glad you touched on that because I think there's a perception with people on the outside. They see, you know, British champions and they think they're multimillionaires. You know, a lot of people are still unaware that.
Stop, listen, put this in. Me and Anthony Joshua are the richest British title fight in history. So
wow.
We did all right. We've done all right and I've done all right. That's wow. It's the first British heavyweight title fight
on pay-per-view.
Is that correct? Yeah.
Yeah. Is that December 15th?
Yeah, so we had the
I forget around the
place. I made pay-per-view as well, because it was a normal fight night at first.
Yes.
But obviously, because obviously, the you know, being, I was just having certain things and being strategic about the fight.
Yes.
It ended up becoming a bigger fight than what it should have been. You know what I mean? And then after it ended up being a massive fight, and we both got paid very well and they both done good for our career. It made him went on to, I think he fought for the world title the fight after.
His next fight he fought Charles Martin.
Is that
but,
correct?
Yeah, next fight. Yeah, but one,
sorry
Dylan. On, yeah, when you boxed him in that fight, right, and you were training with Jonathan Banks, there's no disrespect to Jonathan Banks. I like the guy. He's a very cool guy, right? But to me, to see the transition of what you've done since then and how you've applied yourself, you've learned the craft, could you kind of admit that you wasn't a professional, you weren't training like a professional them days compared to how you're training now?
You know what? You know what's funny? Boxing is a game where the circle keeps turning because the same thing that Joshua is doing now, and I think he's going to be detrimental to his fight coming up, and the same thing I did. I tried to switch to a new trainer, and he was teaching me something, and he was taking me away from my style and teaching the new style. I never had enough time to learn it.
Okay.
And because of that style, I ended up picking up injuries, so I was forced into learning. And in the fight, I got caught between two styles. My normal style of being a brawler, I'm trying to box.
Yes.
And I got caught in the middle ground, and then I was getting caught, and I wasn't doing what I should have been doing.
So are you saying that the change with Jonathan Banks came just before the AJ fight? Yeah, am I right in saying that?
Yeah, you know what?
Remember, he's working with Chris Oko.
Okay.
Then Chris Oko was in a car crash, isn't it? Or someone, the car licked him at it. He got run over. We're laughing for
him. Hey, Spencer ran him over because Spencer wanted Chris's money.
Yeah, he owed me money for the Lindays, but we're not going to talk about it.
No, he didn't. No. Spencer was like, let me train you, man. Chris can't train you. Spencer run over Chris.
So basically what you were saying is that you was caught in a transition between the two trainers. You know, one was teaching you.
No, you didn't caught between the two styles because...
Yes.
What are you going to remember, dear? Here's when started to talk about this. It takes about 5-6 fights.
At least.
Always.
At least.
For you to truly adapt.
Yes.
And grow up. I remember, listen, I was a tough man growing up. And most of my early fights, I was just tough. I had to beat man up and just bulldoze guys. So yes. I was, Johnson was trying to make me into a boxer. It wouldn't, what he should have done is, in hindsight, he should have made me a boxer fight. He should have made me a boxer fight instead of just
a pure boxer.
He should have made me a pure boxer
and
a mover like sort of like what Klitschko was.
Yes.
If you watch the fight, I feel like a lot of the fight at the back foot,
Bruising
around and trying to box, and I was getting tagged with punches I shouldn't have been getting tagged with. But it's an experience, you live and you learn. What he should have done is made me keep my old style and add a few more shrinks to the bolt. That's all I needed for that.
Yes.
I never had enough time to
adjust.
To a totally new training regime.
I never had enough time to adjust. And obviously, at the time, I'm not making excuses, but at the time, he was training me, Vladimir, Cecilia. Vladimir was going to fight Tyson Fury. Cecilia was going to defend an undisputed title. Mm. And I was going to fight. You can't have three big fighters in the same camp. So I wasn't being paid enough attention and other things and stuff. But, you know, me being a young, tough man, you know, obviously headstrong, I was just trying to, you know what I mean? I was trying to do my thing. I didn't believe no one could beat me. I believe I was invincible and I was training wrong. And I picked up all sort of injuries and stuff. But
And you
know,
fought injured in the Joshua fight as well. I remember that.
Yeah, I fought injured. The week, if you look at the press conference, the week of the fight, he asked me, oh, is your shoulder right? If you need a good doctor, let me know. I'll get one for you. I got one to recommend for you because everyone knows injured because I had to get two cortisone injections the week of the fight. And when you get them, you're gonna notify the board. And someone must have told him that I had an injury or whatever, and he knew about it anyway. But it doesn't matter. Listen, go
okay.
To the fight,
but how did you feel in the second round? In the second round, when you hurt him, what went through your mind when you hurt Andy Joshua at that time? You hit him with that left.
In the second round, honestly, what went through my mind was, oh my God, my shoulder is gone.
Wow. Okay. That's very interesting. Yes.
At the same time, I had him, and I was thinking to myself, you know what? All these fights I watched with great champion Danny Williams fighting in one hand. And Marvin Lee fighting the injury and Josh Foreman and others. And I think to myself, well, I'm going to join those elite guys.
Yeah, just go for it. Yeah.
I'm going to join those guys by knocking him out with one hand. And you know, I'm gonna prove to myself and people that I am not a normal average human being today. You know, but it didn't work out.
And this journey continues. So moving forward, you know, since that fight, you know, it's been an amazing journey. You know, Lewison, British title, Chisora, Robert Helenius, Lucas Brown, Joseph Parker. A Chisora rematch and then an Oscar Rivas. Your career has really gone from strength to strength? And I mean, what do you put that down to, Dave? What do you put that down to, Dave?
You know what? That's down to me. You know what I mean? Because that's down to me and my team. Those fights got offered to me. Yes. I could have turned them down and I'd fight some other guy and still make money and I'd still climb the ranks and still touch my record and stuff. But I said to myself, you know what? I've had a long time in boxing.
Yes.
And this is what I look at these guys. If I can beat someone who's been boxing 20, 25 years, at 200 amateur fights, I'm just feeling the experience. That's all I'm doing. I'm just feeling the experience. I'm feeling all that amateur fight. I'm feeling all that Olympic experience,
yes.
You know, I'm just feeling the experience. That's what I look at. I think to myself, if I can be... So what people forget is Lane has been ranked in the top 10 when I fought him for about 8 years running. He was in the top 10 Ring Magazine.
What's that?
Top.
What's that?
Yeah, sorry, I just reversed to me. Hold on.
Okay.
Sorry.
You
passed the driving test.
No, man. Remember, I'm still driving with your license that you lend me.
Yeah. No, stop talking like the business,
and
deal, man.
I sold him.
Because yeah. You know them Nigerians.
I know, yeah. Send them my driving instructor.
Anyway, go on.
I even forget what I was saying now.
We was talking about...
What was I talking about?
The Hellenius fight, where Hellenius was ranked at the time.
Yeah, what we forget is Hellenius, he was a highly ranked fight. Remember, when I started boxing, these guys was already top amateurs, professional.
Yes.
They was already established. Even remember Spence. Remember the first time I sparred Derek Chisora, British champion. Remember when I came up and sparred him? Spencer arranged the first sparring for me and Derek Chisora. Spencer will tell you.
Yes.
I never had no fight. No, I was the first.
Was I at that one?
No, you was at the when Derek sparred with what's the Gonzalez? Gomez.
The Cuban brother. I missed Dylan one.
That's what I was telling you about Dylan.
I remember. Leon's but cousin. You know what? But Dylan, you must remember. You came to Peacock Gym with Leroy. And you sparred Wadi.
I sparred Wadi and Ricky Nolan. Yes, I remember. In the back room.
I'm telling you, and I told you offline, off the
That's
show.
11 years ago,
I told you that I'm so proud of you. And nobody can ever make me think negatively about you.
Because
I know how hard you've worked.
Man.
I know where you come
listen,
from.
I've achieved a lot. There's still a lot more to achieve and still a lot more to come.
Exactly.
In this game, you know. Listen. I look at this, honestly, I thought I'd have been dead. I've been in prison doing some long stretch.
Yes.
Some long stretch right about now, you know.
Yes. And again...
Sorry, go on.
No, I'm just saying, where we come from, you know, I'm tired of man making excuses about where we come from, because... The fact of the matter is this. Everybody's an individual. You choose to go down a certain path.
100%.
No, you know what? No. I slightly disagree with that.
Okay.
You know why?
So you don't choose.
I'll explain.
Yes.
Some people haven't got no choice, bruv.
You've always got a choice, Dylan.
Some people have got no other way. Some people have got no education. Some people, it's like their own fight, it's their upbringing. Some people ain't got their fathers around, their mothers around.
Yes.
Some people have got no heroes, no one to look up to.
Yes. Well,
if your mom's a junkie, your dad's a junkie, string out on drugs, didn't benefit their whole life. There's only a small percentage of that kind of people who really make it, because people don't care about those people.
Yes, absolutely.
You say to your son, move for him, don't play with him. No, come. And this is the reason why I always give my time to people and I always try and help people. It doesn't matter what they look like, what colour they are, what race they are, or rich they are. Not, I just try and help people because, I've been on every side of this life, man. Good, bad, up and down.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Let me cut you there a second. It's so genuine. No, I'm going to tell you why. Let me tell you why.
Go.
I posted on Instagram. This is what... I don't know, 3 years ago, I posted on Instagram about, I just, you know what I sent out these posts, and it was a generic post. I said, like, people just don't care. They love you for 1 minute, and then they
people switch don't care. Legs.
And listen, then Dylan phoned me up and said, bruv, are you all right? Do you need any money? It was a generic, and that's the type of guy, I'm just being real, the type of guy that Dylan White is.
Dylan, I hear what you say, and you should know better than most people that I can relate to everything what you're saying. The point what I'm saying is that, look, the reason why I say you have a choice is there's no doubt that environment shapes you. That's a given. That's actually scientific. But the point is that we have to be what we want to see. 100%. Dylan White is an example. Listen, let me finish, please, Dylan.
I agree with you. No, listen, I agree with you. I know that. I know you like to get points across. I know you like to be strong.
I like to listen.
I know you like to be strong and you like to enforce your point. But one thing, some people have no choice, bro.
No, this is what I'm trying to show you.
There's some people around the world that ain't got no...
But you're talking about...
There's people that want to change, but they can't change, bro. Exactly. Because there's no help for them.
So that's why they've got a Dylan White to look on. So the point is that we have to stop looking on the outside and be what we want to see. If you keep on looking on the outside, nothing will change. You had to look within. And you came from the same environment as we all have. I had to look within. Spencer had to look within.
Bro,
so why don't we focus?
Bro, I come from slightly different environment than you, but I get what you're saying.
You come from the bush.
No, listen.
But we get it. The fact is, listen, there is
we have come from to where... listen, man.
I'm saving that stuff
for my book when my book come out one day.
No. You are an inspiration to us. 100%. You understand what I'm saying? And my thing is this. We know what happens when we keep on focusing on what we don't have. The key, and I'm going to say this again, the key is to focus on what we do have. We do have a
Spencer. The only thing you have control over is your emotional response and your decision making. That's it, man.
Your decision making is your choice. That is
your choice.
That's your choice.
This is what I'm saying.
And your destiny is not by chance, it's by choice.
This is what we're
you
saying.
You chose to be where you're at.
You chose. So you have chose. A choice.
You have a choice.
Sometimes I get upset with things that's going on and things in my life. I'm thinking, I should have been world champion. I should have been this. I should have that. Yes. I should have fought for this. I should have done that. Then I'm on YouTube watching something and then a little documentary just come up. You know, sometimes the computer recommends stuff.
Yes.
And then you see stuff where this kid's really
struggling.
You're like, wow. I'm there complaining about
exactly.
this.
Exactly. This is the point. So, you know.
In Jamaica, I didn't have a fridge, bro.
I didn't have a fridge, the ice box, innit? Your story is...
Not even ice box, bro. I couldn't afford that. I remember when I come to England and then my mom was like, oh, go take something from the fridge. I thought I was a king. I was like, I could just go to the fridge and get a drink. And like, it's just, you know what I mean? Well, you know, but it just goes to show how life is, bro.
Exactly. And Dylan, to be honest with you, you are a hero to me. You are the things...
Oh, thanks. Thank you, Tunde, man.
Trust me, because let me tell you something. I have trained my mind only to think and focus on the positive. Now, I know that's difficult for a lot of people.
Well, you bloody need to, because you see some strong stuff in the bus in real. You get a lot of sick. So,
listen, you know, I lift lions
in the camp stuff. You need to train your mind. Listen, I got nothing.
Wait.
Lions in the camp! Lions in the camp! Lies in the
cup. Yeah, man.
You see it. Come on.
Now, nah, Ewa, hey, yo, you are great, man.
Sunday, go empty your tank, all right? Just relax. Go empty your tank.
Listen, let me tell you something.
No, you're only serious, man. I'm just going to touch on that because I know a lot of people give you a stick about the fight
but you have this, what I'm trying to say. Look, stop it. Let me stop you,
sir. No, I'm going to touch on it because man, I have to give you respect because you took Anthony from just a nobody, believed in his ability, trained him your way, done your thing.
Yes.
People say, oh, you never fought this, you should have done this, you should have done that. You took him to a result and you changed his life.
Yes.
Simple
you know?
As that.
And it pushed Kovalev to the way. And you know what I mean? Listen, he had one loss. He's young enough. He'll come back and he'll be better. Yes. You know, you done a great job. And the main thing is, many people come to you and say, oh, no, change this, change that. You and him done it your way. You done what you wanted to do. You done your thing. So, massive respect for that, man. You know,
Absolutely, but I
was disappointed because I wanted to win because obviously my boy, and I thought you could have won. Obviously, you know what I mean. But listen, inexperience is something you can't buy. I remember when I fought Joshua.
Yes.
When I fought Joshua, walking out of the O2 in front of 25,000 people for the first... Remember, I'm fighting in front of some dead crowd, 5,000 people, 2,000 people, 1,500 people.
Yes.
It is a whole different... When you walk out and there's hundreds of... there's millions of people watching around the world,
yes,
people booing you and stuff. Mate, listen, that drained me even before I got in the ring.
Well, a lot of people don't... This is what I'm trying to say. A lot of people don't understand about this and about the energy factor. And, you know, when you talk about people that give me a lot of stick, listen, they ain't been where I've been. They ain't been where Anthony's been. They haven't dedicated themselves to the sport and the craft for over 20 years. So when people see me for the first time and then they want to criticize, God bless them. I hope they do well. Because all I'm focusing on is the positive.
Listen, I'm going to teach you something. I know you used to be the one that teach people things and say things and whatever.
No.
I'm going to teach you something.
Yes.
No. I'm just saying, if you're older than me, you've obviously been through a lot of things or whatever.
I've been through things as well.
But I'm going to teach you something. People only criticize when you're successful.
Yes.
People are only jealous of you when you're successful. People only criticize when you're doing something good. Yes. Have you ever seen a champion criticize him? Yes. I said, that champ smells. I wish I had the clothes he had on. No. When you see someone who's successful, that's when you say, that man's a show off.
Yes.
No, that man is this. Because he's doing well, bro.
Yes.
Right. And
you're doing something well.
But I don't even think it's at a successful level.
This is what I say. It's better to create something that others criticize than to create nothing and criticize others.
Come on.
As simple as that.
Come on,
as simple as that.
Right now energy goes where it flows.
We're speaking to winners. There's winners in the room. Our producer Gary's a winner. Bobby Tunde Ajayi is a winner. Dylan White is definitely a winner. Keep doing what you're doing.
Even Spencer, you see Spencer.
Yes.
I rate Spencer because when Spencer's called me up at random time and said, "Listen, I don't care what no one said." Spencer said something to you. He said, "Listen to me. When you have a family member, whatever he does, you will remain loyal to him because a family member." He said, "It's the same with you, bro. Whatever is happening, I'm there for you."
There you go.
And listen, I remember me and Spencer, we've had our ups and downs over the years, but now we understand each other. We understand the journey that each other has been on. Listen, Spencer's done well.
Yes.
Spencer's done well. If you know Spencer's past and what he's been through and where he's come from, Spencer's done well, and he's still young enough to still...
Yes.
Do more and do better, and he will do.
Believe me, Dil, I know Spencer way before I come into boxing. And me and Spencer used to run up and down and do things. A lot of people, this is what I'm trying to say. They're seeing us now. They don't know how long me and Spencer have been. Remember, before all of this, I was in the corner for Spencer Fearon's last ever professional fight. I trained him for the fight of the year when I didn't even have a license.
I think Prince retired too young, though.
I told Spencer his talent was not that. Am I lying, Spence?
100%.
Spence believes him, man. Spence never won train hard. He said, "Yo, we can't make money do other things, man. We can't make boxing." You know what? It's the politics of boxing. You have one or two losses and people start, listen, it's hard, man. You have one or two losses in the game and people start writing you off, start saying this and saying that. You know, it's hard, man.
Karen. Sorry, Dylan. Sorry, I did cut you mid-sentence there. You said it's hard and people write you off. Carry on.
Yeah, you have a couple of losses and people just start writing you off. Look at even AJ.
Yes.
Everyone is saying that he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And yet one loss, people is criticizing him. You know, people, and I'm saying to people, listen, it's boxing, man. These things happen. You know, like, enjoy the people. Be grateful to the people. Show respect to the people. Everyone loses.
Yes.
Everyone will lose at some point.
In some form, yes.
Wilder's going to lose. I guarantee if he doesn't retire in the next couple of years, he's going to lose.
Yes.
But they've been careful with him, matching him properly. He's going to lose. He will lose.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of these guys might have one or two losses in their record before they retire. It's a normal process, man. It's a normal process. You win, you lose, you get better. That's just what it is. But you have to be honest with yourself to make the changes and the decision to improve.
I'm very proud of your learning of the game. I like that. When are you back, bruv?
I should be back in December. I'm just trying to finalize a date now. You know, sometimes the boxing thing, trying to get the right fight, trying to get the right show, this and the other. So I should be back in December, you know what I mean? December.
Training's going well. You're back training, full training?
Yeah, man, all the time.
Training's getting good, man.
Good.
You're looking
good.
Slim as well.
Training's getting good. I'm sparring, I'm training. You know what I mean? I'm training, I'm trimming down and stuff. Excellent. So yeah, training's getting good, man. Excellent. You know, one of the biggest changes I make to my life after the Joshua fight was I used to go to camp for 10, 12 weeks and try and get ready for fights. I just try and stay ready all the time. I just try and stay in shape the best I can and as much as I can, man, instead of going to camp to get ready. You know what I mean? I just go to camp to get sharp now.
That's the key, because you can always learn. The biggest room
is the room for improvement.
And if we're training every day, you know what? We're working.
I met Emmanuel Stewart once before he died. Mm-hmm. And there's one thing I can remember what he said to me. I met him once when he was, just before he got ill, I met him once and he said to me, listen, he said, you can't train no 14, 15 weeks to beat Vladimir Klitschko. He goes, no way, you need to be training 10, 14 years to beat Klitschko. And then I didn't understand what he meant. I said, what do you mean, what, a 14-year training camp? And he goes, he
broke it down.
He laughed and he said, man, you're a crazy-ass British guy, man. Whatever, man. And he just walked off.
Yes.
And it bugged me for years. I kept on thinking about it. I think to myself, what does he mean? Mm. And then he hit home to me about 3 years later, after he passed or whatever it was. And I thought to myself, no one understands what he means.
Yes.
And then I remember that I conversed with Vitaly Klitschko. I said, how often do you train? He says, I train at least 3 times a week, whether I have a fight or not. I just do something. He says, I do something. I punch, you know what I mean? And I used to fight and take 2 months off, go and eat, get fat, do this, do that, relax. I think, okay, I got 14 weeks. That's enough time to get in shape. Yes. That just kills your body and wear your body out.
Yes. That is good, good advice for all you young professionals coming up there from the big man himself, the body smasher. I call him Smasher. The body snatcher, the one, the
only. I'm going to snatch your wallet when I see you next Sunday. Hey, Tunde's got pure money now. He's a big boy in the game, man.
You know what? Tunde bought me a new car, you know. I'm going to tell you, man. He bought me a Maserati Jeep.
Have you seen the train he's wearing? He's the man that'll see you. I don't want to see you in Brixton High Street.
You're mad. I'll run Brixton.
Nah, Tunde, you'll run from Brixton now. I'll tell you that now for nothing.
Hey, I must be able to get 5 bars for that in the black market today.
Dylan, it has been an absolute honor, pleasure. You are inspiration to many of us.
Listen,
keep doing what you're
I'm
doing.
I'm a friend to the show, mate. Anytime you just follow me, anything, man.
Spencer wants to say one word.
All I got to say is, like I said, I always support you. Keep on doing what you're doing. And I'm looking forward to when you become world champion, because I really do believe. And I've said that 5 years ago, remember? And I still believe it. Keep on doing what you're doing.
Spencer has been a supporter of mine, man. That's why.
Always gets my ringside ticket.
If I'm fighting, Spencer sit with my mum and my two sisters.
Yeah, serious. You know,
that's so much love and respect I have for him.
I want my ticket.
No, you're not in the
game.
You never give me a ticket. You never give me a small ticket. Yeah, yeah.
It's a Jamaican thing.
Yeah, for Jamaica, really.
All right, Dylan.
Big up yourself.
Tunde's not even African, bro. Tunde is African. All right, I'm going to go out to sparring now, man.
Become it.
All right, yes, do your thing, champ.
Do your thing, Dylan.
Dylan White on the show. Round of applause for Dylan White.
Dylan gives me so much joy. You say he wouldn't argue with me. That's fine, man. He must be going to a barbershop or something. He just wouldn't argue with me, man. I'm like, man.
So I have to tell Dylan, I remember when he came down to the Real Fight Club in 2008, he came down to the Real Fight Club, him and Leroy Harris, right? When he came down there. Leroy Harris. Big up Leroy Harris.
Big up Leroy Harris. Hold on.
Yeah, big up Leroy Harris.
Old tight Leroy.
Old veteran. And I remember he come down the gym and like Dylan had a Bermuda shorts, you know.
He thought he was still in Jamaica. he thought he was still in Jamaica. Bermuda sauce. And it was winter. Yeah. What's the matter with him?
Come on, man. Let's rattle up this thing.
Anyway.
Because we still got some good fights on over this weekend. I mean, Billy Joel defending his world title. Devin Haney defended his world title as well. That recently given WBC crown.
Yeah.
So you got KSI and Logan Paul.
Yeah.
So
all them other guys are on the undercut of KSI and Logan Paul. And that basically, that's what it is.
Yeah, for real.
Because he's the top of the bill.
Okay.
But guess what?
What?
You got Joy Phelps number. Let her round up the team. Listen, the fight is like roundup is gonna be done. You sure you got a number?
Tundi, I will slap the black off of you.
What's that film? Is it The Equalizer? Yeah. No, with Commons in it.
Oh, John Wick.
John Wick, and he drew for the black book. He just went into the black book and just, a phone by man. That's what Spencer's phone is. The black book. He's got everyone in that phone. Everybody in that phone. All right. Say now, phone Michelle, let her do the roundup of the week because she is like the queen of this thing.
Exactly. Lock off these people.
What, she's like the tax man?
Lock off these little impertinent people by their phone.
Phone Michelle, man.
All right, cool. Done. And there's
Michelle,
no one.
This is for you.
Right, and there is no one more better to give me a roundup on everything that goes on than my sister.
The queen of boxing. Yeah, that's what I've named you.
Right, as simple as that.
Aww.
Welcome.
Welcome
to the Fight Is Right, Michelle.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man, it's good,
Thanks
man.
Thanks for calling me, guys.
Oh, come on, man. I see you're living a big life. You're jet setting everywhere. If you're not here, I'm surprised that you're not be flying out. I'm surprised that you're not in Japan right now doing the Donaire Inoue fight.
I'm tired.
You don't look tired. I just only take so much. Sis, cut it out. What did I say? Don't ever talk negative about yourself or ever talk things down about yourself because people are going to do that anyway, right? And I see you. We just FaceTimed you.
You don't look tired to me. I'm just being honest. Don't look tired. If that's what tired looks like, I want to be tired 7 days of the week.
You guys are funny. Thank you. God bless.
As simple as that. Right, what's going on? You're at the big fights right now for over the weekend.
Fill us in
on the gossip, sis. Come on, man. I want to hear something.
Yeah, I mean, literally this morning has been nothing but chaos. I've been running around trying to get these interviews. I finally got, I just wrapped up an interview with Dom Engel and with Devin Haney, and Billy Joe had just walked out, but Billy and I have a sit-down interview for tomorrow, so I'm not even bothering getting one today. So, it's just been, a hustle and bustle just trying to get everything done in a timely manner because I got interviews with pretty much everybody on Monday and I thought I was like, yes, most of it's done. And then there was an error that took place in those interviews. So like it was, the lens was off and it was just all wrong. And I was like, I can't use these. I can't put those out. So now here I am trying to get everything all over again, which I will get because everyone's being very helpful, but it's just a matter of like long waiting around days. You know what I mean?
Yes. So tell us about the Billy Joe. Because I don't really know nothing about his opponent. Do you know much about the Billy Joe's opponent?
No, actually we don't. And it could be a good thing and a bad thing. I mean, as the less you know, that you don't know what the hell you're getting yourself in for.
That's correct.
So I've asked everybody, like, what do you guys know of him? What can you tell me about him? And everyone's just saying, oh, he's a good fighter. And I'm like, okay, no one can break it down for me. So I don't know what to expect. And again, that could end up being a bad thing.
That's
as we've seen that a lot of guys, just because they don't have big names doesn't make them, not great fighters. So, and they're the ones that usually are wanting to prove themselves the most and pull off the upset. So we'll see. It's Bill's first title defense. And obviously we're hoping for the bigger fights in the coming months, because I was even asking Dom about that. I was like, Billy's one of those fighters that he's just really good, isn't he? He's just too good almost.
And some people
don't like to watch him because they think that he's boring because he makes a fight look very one-sided.
Mm.
And so it's not engaging as in, you know, not very many of his opponents can really hit him. It doesn't make for a, quote, exciting fight, but it's nonetheless a masterclass when you do watch him fight against these guys. But my question to Don was, like, are you worried that the better he continues to look, the harder it is going to make the fights against, you know, Callum Smith, Canelo, Triple G, Andrade, you know, the list goes on.
Yes.
And, of course, it's always a concern. So, I mean, I'm curious to know what you guys think. Like, do you think that we're even going to get to see Billy fight someone?
Well, I don't personally think that Billy should change for no one. You know, he just has to keep being persistent, keep being himself, keep being Billy Joe Saunders. And, you know, it'll come to a point kind of like how it was with Winky Wright. You know, Winky Wright, remember Winky Wright, nobody wanted to fight with, nobody wanted to let him in the door, but he just stayed there. And then
Andy was a southpaw, just like Billy Joe.
Ironically. And, you know, in the end.
It's funny you say that because everybody keeps mentioning Winky Wright when talking about Billy.
You see, it's really funny you say that. Shane Mosley made the mistake and let him through the door.
Yep.
And that was it, you know. But he still didn't even get that much big fights after
that. He did, man. What are you talking about? Yeah. He got loads of big fights. Okay. Yeah, I mean, remember, he went up, he fought Jermaine Taylor.
Oh, yeah.
Got a draw against Jermaine Taylor.
Yes.
He got a very, very big payday against Bernard Hopkins.
Yes.
Catchweight fight as well.
Bernard.
You know what I mean? Yeah, Bernard beat him on points. Yeah. But regardless of that, at the time when he beat Shane Mosley, he beat him twice.
Yes.
People seem to forget that.
Yes.
And then he beat Felix Trinidad twice. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think, you know, Bill should just keep on being Billy Joe. And if he is as good as what I know he is and what everyone thinks he is, he's obviously doing something right or wrong that he can't get these fights. You understand? But eventually, you know, the door will have to open because I think everybody will run out of options. And Billy's young enough to keep on hanging around and just being persistent. I mean, he's on a big platform.
Plus, it's important for the likes of us to continue to talk about these matchups because we're the ones who really get the crowd talking about it.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Yes. It's like we're almost equally as responsible as they are in continuing to win and work their way up the ranks. Like, it's our responsibility to mention these because then there becomes a demand from the crowd. Like, no, we want that fight. Exactly. Look what happened when we could never get the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight. It got to a point where neither one of the guys could walk into, like, an arena where there's, like, they're attending a basketball event or a baseball event or whatever, where the other wasn't being chanted the other's name. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it's like, it has to get to that point, and we have to talk about those matchups and really get everybody interested in wanting to see them in order for it to happen. Otherwise, it will, if they can, especially today, in today's generation, a lot of people do sort of set themselves up in a position where they feel that they don't have to take on those fights if they don't want them. And I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that if you're a champion, champions should be facing the champions. Obviously, you have the mandatories, and they have those for a reason, but nonetheless, they should be fighting each other. Like, no excuses.
So have you seen anything of Luis Conceras, this guy who Billy's fighting?
Because he's unbeaten.
Yeah, he's unbeaten. He's got a draw on his record from Argentina. But I don't know. I'm like...
One thing I can tell you about Argentina.
They're tough.
They can swing. I mean, historically. So, you know, who knows? But I think, you know, Billy is such a smart fighter, though. The only thing is that it's in America. And a lot of British fighters don't realise the change from going from the UK to the US and fighting. It's a whole energy change.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel that even like with AJ, I feel that maybe he should have had a fight there because he didn't fight before. That's the first time fighting in America, right?
First time.
So, you know, we'll see. It'd be interesting. Moving on to...
No, but remember this. Before I don't want to cut you.
Okay.
Remember, when Billy Joel, he fought Lemieux.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Is it possible you guys can talk a little louder? Because I don't know why, but I'm struggling to hear.
Can you hear me now? Is that better?
Yeah, I think, more closer. Way better.
Right, my apologies. Yeah.
Thank you.
Right, so when, like, the David Lemieux win, that was a very, very good win for me. And that was in Canada.
That's not America.
Right. I know, but still, it was in Canada. But that was on the man's home ground.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I remember, Canada's still North America.
That's true.
Right, so... all the credit. Listen, Billy Joe is a very good fight. What's the talk about Canelo? Because I know you know. If anyone's gonna know, you're gonna know. What's happening
with Billy and Canelo, or just Canelo?
No, just Canelo. After Canelo. That win over Kovalev.
Canelo.
Because Tundi was really thinking that Kovalev was going to win that fight.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, and so did Virgil Hunter. A lot of astute people thought that Kovalev was going to win. I didn't. I thought Canelo was going to win. But anyway, that don't neither here nor there. Not
I can see where a lot of people thought that Kovalev was going to win. I mean, on paper, it should have been Kovalev winning. And all the way up until the knockout, some had Kovalev up one round. It was a very close fight. It wasn't like Canelo was dominating the entire time. He wasn't. It just so happened that he caught him with a really great shot, and that was it. Game over. As you know, that's just how boxing is. Nothing's guaranteed.
Yes. Do you think that...
Say it again?
Do you think that the rehydration clause may have had something to do with Kovalev slowing down in the later rounds?
Yeah, I think it could have. Yeah. I mean, the moment that it was announced that there was a 10-pound rehydration, everybody swayed to Canelo. Everybody did.
This is what I'm trying to say.
Even people who were thinking that Kovalev was going to win were like, oh, that's it. Canelo's definitely going to win that.
Wow. That's very interesting. Because we were on the show last week. You know, we had Virgil Hunter on the show. And we were just saying, you know, me and Virgil were saying that, no, there's no rehydration clause. And good old Spencer Fear and the Knowledge said to us, I bet you there's a rehydration clause.
Of course. So, I mean, you know, the funny thing is this, if we was to go back, I mean, you know, I like to spit out the history. If we go back to 1988, November 1988, Sugar Ray Leonard versus
Knowledge.
Donny Lalonde. Right,
here we go. He is like an encyclopedia.
I told him. I'm the one who told him. I said, Spence, you got to make use of this gift, this beautiful gift he's got.
Right? Sugar Ray Leonard fought Donny Lalonde, but he fought for dual titles. Donny Lalonde was a light heavyweight champion. He dragged him down 7 pounds to fight at super middleweight.
Wow.
And Leonard became the first man to win five world titles at five different weights. Right, which was, and so from then, Sugar Ray Leonard was the one that, like,
yes, this rehydration. It's an old trick, basically.
But it's an old trick if you're the A side, and Sugar Ray Leonard was a global superstar at the time. Just like you can do that. So when you know, like, okay, all right, I'm gonna. There's a rehydration clause, but allegedly Kovalev made 12 million. He's gonna go for it because he said, "Why? Where am I gonna earn this money anywhere else?" This is what happens. But yeah, Sugar Ray Leonard knocked out.
That was a vicious knockout.
It was a vicious knockout. The barrage of punches.
Yeah,
the barrage of round nine.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying.
I mean, there are rumors. There are rumors, or I wouldn't call it rumors, but I call it whispers from within the camp that Kovalev is retiring. Okay. And he was planning to retire even before the Canelo fight.
Of course.
It's just that, you know, when the opportunity, you know, arises, how are you not going to take
$12 million?
Yep. $12 million.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a hell of an ice pack that you can buy now.
Farewell, bitch.
Yes, because, you know, that was part of the reason why they wanted us to take that step-aside money, because they just wanted to have that one fight. And again, a lot of people was surprised at the turnaround. It was just like he just finished this fight with Anthony Yard and all of a sudden he's fighting Canelo. It's like it was yesterday. And physically, mentally, you know, no matter what he says, he was in a fight in Russia. And that had to have some effect on him. So to go into a fight, weight drained, because this is what happened to Oscar De La Hoya when he fought Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah.
They done the same thing, and he wasn't the same individual. So if he already had thoughts of retiring on his mind prior to the contest, the weight rehydration clause wouldn't have helped.
Tell me something, is Devin Haney definitely fighting, is he?
Yeah.
And Devin Haney is now, correct me if I'm wrong,
he's a WBC.
The WBC world, not no franchise business, he's the WBC champion. Is that right?
Yeah, world champion, correct.
Yeah, he's a world champ.
Lomachenko's a franchise champion. Lomachenko's.
Wow.
Correct.
Wow.
Which I asked him about. I asked him about, like, what his thoughts were on it being, you know, the whole franchise belt situation. And he himself was confused. He's like, look, I'm really confused by it, but he thinks it's wrong. And okay. I'm really curious. You know, everybody has a different opinion on it, but for the most part, it's been quite negative. I wouldn't call it a positive reaction, because they're like, wait a minute, what do you mean you can never lose that title? Like, what does that even mean exactly? So, you know, for a lot of, as you guys know, fighters, you have to earn it.
Yep.
You have to earn it. And I don't know. I try to not, because I don't want to offend the WBC, but I also don't want to, me being completely honest, I'm really confused by it myself, and I'm not quite sure if I even agree with it at all.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm saying, you know what, we got to kind of look at it as kind of being similar to the WBA having their regular champion and their super champion. And that's, I think, if the WBC could have turned around and said, all right, well, you are now our super champion, I think, but they can't go along with that script to call anybody a super champion. So I think it's the thing where they sat down and said, well, we're going to make a franchise as well. And bottom line is about this. As much as how bad it is, it does give other men opportunities to say that they're world champions. I've seen the guys who become regular champions get fantastic paydays in fighting, like Rocky Fielding was the WBA regular champion, where they already had their super champion, but he was a WBA regular champion. And he goes on and gets a fantastic payday against Canelo. So as much as I'm saying like, this fights make fights, end of the day, and the best should be fighting the best. So sometimes I cut away myself. I depart myself from looking at these spurious titles now because there are so many. I just want to see the best fight the best. And I think you're of the
kind of same. But there's money involved, Spence.
Yeah, I know. As they say,
there's money involved.
As they say in Nigeria, money solve problems.
Yes, money solve all problems. So, KSI, the main one.
KSI. That's not the main one. That's Billy Joel's the main one.
No, KSI.
Right. Oh, KSI everybody's, versus... Yeah.
It's the main one, Spence, because KSI and Logan Paul are the top of the bill. So, right.
Yeah. So, what's your thoughts on that?
What's my thought?
Yeah, what's
sorry,
your thoughts?
I can't hear again.
Sorry, what's yours? Yeah, what's your thoughts on that fight? Who do you think is going to win? And do you think it's good for boxing? Because I actually do think it's good for boxing.
You know, I was there at the first fight in Manchester. And the atmosphere was quite lively. It was fun to be there. I can't knock it. Do I think it's a little bit odd that we're having world champions as the co-main event?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I do. But do I see the angle that they're going with it? Meaning like these guys with or without, you know, Billy Joe or Devin Haney on the undercard, we're going to sell out regardless. So they were sort of taking advantage of an opportunity to sort of bring in a new audience or hopefully bring in a new audience. There's no guarantee.
That's
last
what I'm
time that I think there was like, it, to be honest with you, it was very reminiscent of being at a Justin Bieber concert. You know, wow, not that I've ever been at one, but I could imagine because they were all young.
Don't lie. Don't lie, Misha. We know you was in the back.
Yeah, look. My day was in sync, all right? And I've been to several of them concerts. Don't get it twisted. I like them little
Let me say this. Nobody ever could touch Justin Timberlake. Justin Timberlake was bad.
He was the man.
Come on.
Michael Jackson to Justin.
Yeah, yeah. No, for real. Come on, we bow to MJ. Come on. Now you're drawing out proper dub plates, man. You must think you're in a Saxon dance.
But yeah.
I do see that they're, you know, I made a comment the other day that they really missed the mark with not getting someone like a Ryan Garcia on this card, because I see it being like, well, let's really sort of, if we're going to go there with it, right, we're really going to try to get fans out of this, new fans out of this. Let's go for the teeny boppers and the young boxers, the good looking boxers that are going to, you know, really like the girls are going to fall in love with them. You know, Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia and all those guys, those are the guys you want. Yes. On the undercard, because then you're going to get the little girls who get crushes, and all of a sudden they're wanting to watch every freaking fight that they can of this person because they have a crush on them. And I know that because when I was young, I had a crush on Oscar De La Hoya, and I would want to watch every single one of his fights because of that reason.
I know how it
can work.
That's great. So that's why we're getting you the promoter's license, and you can promote our next show.
Listen, Michelle, my
Been
sister.
An honor.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, we've got to clap her again. Yeah, I mean, the queen of boxing.
The queen of boxing chat.
She's the girl. She's the lady. She's the one.
But you know,
and she's our family.
But you do know now all the female reporters are going to be on us. They were like,
yeah, oh, I know.
No, I thought we were the queen.
But
no, there's only one queen.
There's only one queen.
Michelle Joy Phelps. Thank you for coming
thank
on.
You guys
sis,
for
keep on
me.
Doing it. And I also got to say this. You know what? I'm so proud of you, you know, sis. I've seen how you've just gone on with your career. Trust me. You've just kept on persevering and persevering. And also, I like the fact that you pay homage to the people that helped you as well.
Hold on, can I just say something?
Yeah.
I was always begging for Michelle to interview me. So I said, I'm going to interview her. So you see, listen, man, it all works out in the end.
Seriously, I'm going to tell you again. Keep on doing what you're doing. I'm very proud of you, sis. You know you're my sister. You know what I mean? Just carry on doing what you're doing, all right? Take care.
Thank you.
God bless. No problem.
Thank you very much, Michelle.
God bless you guys. Bye.
Yeah, God bless. What a show. Come on, man. You can't beat this thing.
No, listen, man. You can beat an egg, but you can't beat this thing. I mean,
thank everybody for tuning in, to listening, Apple, SoundCloud.
Yeah, iTunes.
iTunes, YouTube.
It's everywhere.
No tube. Whatever tube. The Fight is Right.
Test
is
the tube.
The Fight is Right is the only podcast in town.
Come on, man. Yeah, listen. Just keep on doing your thing, Ton. It's been very, very enjoyable being up with the master genius.
Who enjoys a show more than us, Spence?
Exactly.
Because remember, I have to break this down. 5 years ago, me and you were in your living room breaking down T-Bud against the Scottish boy,
Ricky Burns.
Ricky Burns. Hey, remember they was laughing. It was like, what's that bloody fake Roger Mayweather? They was laughing at us. It's laughing at that. Like, what's that fake Roger Mayweather know about anything? You don't know nothing. But remember, we predicted that T-Bud was going to be something special.
He's bus. He's properly bus.
So, it's been great. You know, this is a real honor for me to be with you here on the show.
And I'm honored as well, man.
And respect. That should be the word on every child's head. Respect.
Exactly.
100%. So thank you all for everything. Remember to like, comment, and subscribe to Stamina for Sale and watch The Fight is Right.
Come on down!
Remember to like, comment, and subscribe to the Stamina for Sale YouTube channel.